right. So one of my favorite questions to ask kids or students is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And this simple question, like, it reveals a lot about what this young person is really interested in. And usually it's a fun response, like they want to be a professional athlete, or a musician, or a doctor, or more accurately nowadays, they want to be like a gamer, a YouTuber, an influencer. And the sky is the limit though, right? I remember being asked this same question as a boy. And my first response is, I'm going to be a professional basketball player. But being the shortest kid in my class, every single year, that dream did not last too long. So then I said, okay, well then I'll be a professional soccer player or a professional athlete. I was not going to be picky. So think about it. What about you? When you were little and somebody asked you that question, what would you say? I'm going to invite you to turn to your neighbor right now and tell them what you wanted to be when you were little. So take a second and share. Go. All right, so what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, the older you get, that question becomes a little bit harder, right? I remember being asked that question in late high school. Now that question wasn't as much fun. It was a little scary, more serious. I didn't know how to answer that question. I struggled with it. I loved music, and I love putting on, I love concerts. So my thought was, I'm going to go into broadcasting, and I would be part of putting on concerts. But even that changed for me as I started volunteering for my youth group at my home church. And it was very evident that God was calling me into ministry. So I focused more on taking religion classes than on my communications classes. Then after completing my undergrad, I went to seminary. What's my point to all this? My point is this, we can come up with many great plans and dreams, right? And when you think of your life, and you think of the decisions that you have to make, the things you want to be, the things you want to do, it's easy to recognize that it's within our natures that it's pretty easy to make plans for ourselves, right? We even like to make plans for other people. And these plans, they don't just magically appear. But rather, they begin in our own minds, and they're based on what we want, our preferences, our desires. I like this, I do this. I don't like that, I stay away from that. So if you think about it, most of our thoughts and plans for ourselves and for others ultimately come from a very self-centered place. And we may not have truly considered other people or even considered what God wants us to do. But as Christ followers, right, we need to recognize that God is sovereign, meaning that he is the Lord over everything, right? And there is nothing that he does not rule by his ultimate authority. And since God is, in fact, magnificent and always good and always faithful, we can celebrate and we can trust wholeheartedly in the fact that God is sovereign. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. God, and we thank you that we can gather together as a church family and worship and sing to you and praise you. And God, and now that we dive into this time of focused on you, I just pray that our hearts can connect with you, that our minds can be here. Help us not to be a distraction. God, we love you. We want to know you more. God, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So we are starting in our 40 days of prayer. This is week number 3. You can go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. It's also going to be on the screen behind me, but let me give you a little context here. So Psalm 50 is this beautiful psalm that reveals the sovereignty of God. Okay, in Bible times, people would gather together to hear the spoken word of God. And in many psalms, when people would gather, they would gather in a spirit of like joy and praise and expectancy. When people gathered to hear Psalm 50, though, it was more solemn. It was serious. It was quiet. It was reflective in awe of the mighty God who is Lord over all. And because he is Lord over all, he's also judge of all. So let's begin reading Psalm 50. Starting in verse 1 here, it says, "The Lord, the mighty one, is God. And he has spoken, he has summoned all of humanity from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. From Mount Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines in glorious radiance. Our God approaches and he is not silent. Fire devours everything in his way and a great storm rages around him. He calls on the heavens above and the earth below to witness the judgment of his people. Bring my faithful people to me, those who made a covenant with me by giving sacrifices, and let the heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself will be the judge." So this psalm begins with the divine title of God, the mighty one is God, El Elohim Yahweh, which indicates that he is the mighty God, that this God is the universal supreme being and the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords. He's Lord over all people. And as such, when he speaks, like in verse 1, all of the people from east to the west, all the people are going to hear, all the people are going to respond, all the people are going to experience the glory of God, right, shining in all of his perfect beauty of his holiness. But it's just not beauty that people are going to experience. They're also going to experience God's awesome power. Did you notice, like, when he enters the scene, look at verse 3, it says, "Fire devours everything in his way, and the great storm rages around him." I love that image of God's power. God is coming to judge his peace. God is coming to judge his people, and he's going to call all of creation. All of creation is going to witness it. That's our king, and everybody is going to know it. Look at verse 7 now. It says, "Oh my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaints about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and I will give you, and you will give me glory." So this is interesting. Okay, there was a system that was set in place, a sacrificial system where the people would offer animal sacrifices to God. And this was to represent their sin. It was to represent Jesus as the coming Messiah. It was a way to provide temporary relief from their sins, which would then ultimately bring the people closer and back to God. Eventually, though, and this is what the Lord is actually pretty ticked off about, okay, the people started to think that what they were doing was a favor to God with these sacrifices, that somehow they were meeting a need of God, that this was an act of service that was vital to God's well-being. "You're welcome, God," was their attitude. How crazy is that? Right? They develop such a poor view of God. And our God, he's not going to tolerate this. Okay? He's going to correct this. He's going to put the people in their place. To put it in the language that our students would understand, God's going to clock the T. They get that, right? So God is like, hold up. I created everything. Like that bull that you just sacrificed, I own it. I made it. It's mine. That bird you're going to sacrifice later, I created it. I own it. It's mine. The ground that you're standing on, right? The air that you're breathing, the lungs in your body that is taking in the air. Like, I created all of that, right? I own it. You can't give me or offer me anything that isn't already mine. That's what our God is saying right here. And don't you see, church family, everything is already God's. Like, that's true back then, and since our God doesn't change, it's true for us right here and now. And so these people thought that they were doing God a favor? It's ridiculous. So God's correction here in Psalm 50, and we need to pay attention to this, right? Because we can fall into this same thinking that we're doing God a favor with our efforts. When we worship God, our attitude and heart should be thanksgiving. When we sing, when we serve, when we give our time, when we give our finances, it's all to our benefit, not to God's. We cannot offer anything that He doesn't already have and own. We do not fill a need of God. We need God, not the other way around. So we should approach God with thanksgiving. Grateful that the King of the universe would not just be mindful of us, but love us. And to be present with us. And to be for us. And to know what's best for us. Let's connect some dots here from the last couple weeks. Week 1, we talked about how God is holy. That He is set apart. That He is separate. That He is sacred. That He is in a category, He is in a class all by Himself with no comparison. Last Sunday, we talked about how God is eternal, that He is unchanging, that He always is and He remains the same, right? That He is everywhere, He is all-knowing, He is all-powerful. So therefore, because of all these things, let's pay attention to a few things about God's sovereign ways. And the first thing is God's ways are not our ways. Okay, and praise God that our selfish ways are not His ways. And because of who He is, His ways, His plans, they're going to be different than ours. Why? Because He knows all and He sees all. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. So His ways are not our ways. Second thing, God's ways are greater than our ways. Because of His greatness, because of His goodness, as we recognize that His ways are different than our own, we can know and we can rest in the fact that God's ways are better than our ways. God has proved Himself good and faithful. And we can rest in the promise that God is going to be, continue to be, and always will be good and faithful. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. His ways are not our ways. His ways are greater than our ways. And His ways are always good. They're always good. God does not want to harm us. And since He is good, and always is good, it's for our benefit. His ways are for our benefit, right? And the purpose of God's plans is for us to spend an eternity with Him. And think about it, without the goodness of God, without His ultimate good plans, we'd be separated from Him. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So let's ask this question now. So what? Why does all this matter to me? Why does this matter for you right here and right now? And church family, the first thing that we need to realize is that our futures, they're unknown, right? Except for knowing our eternal home when we say yes to Jesus, the rest of our lives and plans are completely out of our control. And they are ultimately in the hands of God, which is what sovereignty is. James 4:14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist, a fog that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so many people, they try to grasp, right? They try to grasp for control. And they spend so much time and energy and money in this fruitless chase. Yet we as people of God, we can rest in the fact that God, we can have hope in a future because God is sovereign and because he can be trusted. The second thing, another thing we must realize is that we have a need for his will above our own. A need for his will above our own. Consider God for a second. Because of who he is, right? Think of all the attributes of God that just kind of flood your mind here. Think about all these things of who God is and things like that. Right? His plans are greater than ours. And because of his sovereignty, he rules and he has purposes in everything that he does. We need his will in our lives. It would be so foolish of us to think we know better than God. To think that we know what's best for ourselves. To think we know what's best for other people. How foolish is that? Lastly, why this matters for you. The sovereignty of God is all about giving you a future and hope. You have assurance that God is going to do what God has promised he is going to do. And without God's sovereignty, man, we are left alone and we are destined for despair. But that is not what God wants. That's not what he desires. He desires and he calls us to himself through his purposes of his plans. And God's sovereignty, he rules and he has authority over all things. And we are able to come before him in awe and wonder and reverence, knowing that it is not because of us or in us or because of our strength or our own plans and wills, but because he is sovereign and he welcomes us by his choosing. He allows us into his family by his own doing, not ours. God is sovereign. And he rules and reigns over everything. So here's my final question. What is our response then to God's sovereignty? Like when we encounter God in all of his sovereignty, what should we do? And this is the first thing. I pray that as you come face to face with the sovereignty of God, you learn to call on God. In the midst of whatever you're going through, good or bad, may your first response be to call out upon God, that you turn your eyes, you turn your attention, you turn your heart to God. You're seeking his will. You're seeking the God of the universe. You're seeking what the King wants and what he wills. How else should we respond? Come to him. Come to him. To discover God's plan for your life, you have to build into your relationship with God, right? Which means spending time with him. It means submitting and looking for what his plans and what his will is for your life. It's listening and being willing to say yes to him, no matter what he says. And there is a promise from God himself that if you seek me, you will what? You will find me. I want you to know, church family, that God is not hidden from you. He's not. And I pray that you find great comfort and peace knowing that the God of the universe, think about it, the God of the universe picked you. And he welcomed you into his family. And he has plans and purposes for your life. Praise God that he is sovereign and he is Lord over all things. I'm going to give us some time to respond to this. We're going to move into some prayer time, okay? And the first prompt is this. Let's spend some time acknowledging God's rule and reign. Let's praise God that he sits on the throne, not you. You can even pray this. God, you are sovereign over all things, over life and death, over poverty and prosperity, over success and failure. I am thankful that you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and nothing is too hard from you. Church family, spend some time. You can pray by yourself. You can pray with the person next to you. There's no right or wrong way to do this. It's up to you. But just spend some time acknowledging God's rule and reign in your life. For our next prayer prompt, ask for patience and trust. In what areas of your life do you struggle with control? Where do you struggle with trusting God in your life? Pray, give me grace and peace to wait on the day that the Lord's going to answer. Pray, help that you can trust God even when you can't see his hand at work. Church family, think of specific things in your life that you are struggling to surrender to God. Ask for patience and trust. for our next prayer prompt. Ask God for guidance. Knowing that God is sovereign and he's the one who sits on the throne, how is God calling you to think differently? How is God asking you to respond and approach life, circumstances, and situations? Will you ask him for guidance? For our last prayer prompt, I'm going to invite you to look around this room. We're going to spend some time praying for other people. Look around this room. Think of your neighbors, your friends, people in your circle of influence. Pray for them by name. Pray that they would live and worship our sovereign God in every aspect of their lives. Pray that their lives would bring God's hope and future to this world. Will you spend some time praying for other people right now?